Wow, so I didn't think you guys needed me because quick preach my sermon. So, good morning.
Good morning.
I always count it an honor to come before you guys and share a message and worship with you guys. Let us open up with prayer. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all things. We thank you, especially in this season of Thanksgiving, for everything, for every small thing and every large thing. We thank you for gathering us here together as a church family. We thank you for being in the midst. I ask that you speak through me and allow me to convey your counsel with clarity. And all these things we pray in your Son Jesus' name and character. Amen. So, like always, when I get the call to preach, I'm like, what the heck am I going to preach? And I have all of these ideas, millions of things flowing through my mind. And then especially it being Thanksgiving season, it makes it really hard to figure out or pinpoint one Thanksgiving message. And so I was sitting in here, and my section is over there right where Meg is. And I kind of sit here during the week. Wednesdays are my day, and it's dark in here. And I was meditating, and I was thinking, okay, God, what am I going to preach about? And I see these banners on the wall, and I'm thinking about these banners. Like, man, I've been serving with Meadow Lake and working with Meadow Lake for a little over 2 years, and I've never really looked at these banners on the wall. And these are some, and they have some powerful words on them. King of Kings and Holy Spirit, fill this fire. Higher ground, Jesus our Savior. Lift up the name of Jesus. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Powerful things that are, if you're like me, you often overlook just in the hustle, in the bustle. And so I began to think about things that I overlook. And one of those things is adequate thanksgiving. Like, we say thank you, but do you really think about the things in which we should be thankful for? And so my favorite holiday of the year is probably no surprise to anybody, is Thanksgiving. I'm a big dude. I like to eat. I like to eat. But it's something about when family comes together and we don't have any other agenda but just to have fun, just to enjoy each other's company. Then, yes, the food, the football. If you're anything like me up north, when we're in New York, we have a turkey bowl. So everybody in the family, all the guys in the family, we'll go out and we play football. If it's snowing, if it's sleeting, whatever it is, we'll go out and we'll actually play football. And then also the food at my grandmother's house. She had an 8-foot dining room table that was extended to 10 feet on Thanksgiving. And it was so full of food that there was barely any room to eat. And really, you couldn't even enjoy the meal because the smell would fill you up so much. And so my absolute favorite part of Thanksgiving was the leftovers. It was something about the turkey when it sits overnight, that you put it on some bread and you make a turkey sandwich. It tastes like God put his hand right on the food for you after it sat for a little while, right? So that's where I want to get to, is the leftovers. But before I get to the leftovers, I want to talk about this thank you thing that sometimes we overlook. I want to talk about our thanks. So today I'm going to challenge you with this question. Are we thanking him enough? Okay, so throughout this sermon and throughout the scripture that I'm going to introduce to you, I want you to think about, are you thanking God enough? And so the scripture that I've chosen is Psalm 66, and this is a psalm of thanksgiving. And there's a little scrutiny over who wrote it, whether it was David or Hezekiah, but just because of the tone of the psalm, I believe it was David. So I'll begin to read. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. The psalmist begins in excitement. He's setting the tone for excitement. When it comes time to say thank you, you should be excited. You ever been going along one day and it's just the perfect day? You woke up on the right side of the bed. The sun is a little bit brighter. The flowers smell a little more beautiful. You find yourself humming or singing a song just for no reason. I do that all the time. Maybe it's just me. I'm just lame. I'll just be skipping along, making my way downtown, walking fast. It's just having the absolute perfect day. And so the psalmist is saying, when you're thinking about thanking God, it should start like that, because he's that good. Then he says something. He says, sing out the honor of his name. And when you look through the scriptures, honor is huge to God. Honor is huge. It is mentioned or referred to over 300 times in scripture. Honor as both the noun and the verb is huge to God. It is the utmost respect or fulfilling an obligation. And I give you this, what you do not bless or honor, you neglect or curse. I'll say that again. Whatever you do not honor or bless, there is no gray, it's black or white. You neglect or curse. Give you a scripture, and this is God talking to Malachi real quick. I'm going to read through it. And this is how much God thinks about honor. He says, isn't it true that a son honors his father and a worker his master? So if I'm your father, where's the honor? If I'm your master, where's the respect? The Lord is calling you on the carpet. You priests despise me. You say, no, not so. How do we despise you? By your shoddy, sloppy, defiling worship. You ask, what do you mean defiling? What's defiling about it? When you say the altar of God is not important anymore. Worship of God is no longer a priority. That's defiling. And when you offer worthless animals and sacrifices and worship, animals that you're trying to get rid of, try to trick your governor like that, how far do you think you'll go? Wow, powerful words, powerful words. And what was happening in that scripture is the priests were offering God secondhand sacrifices, secondhand worship. They're offering him things that came after they used the best. And so God is like, am I not worthy of the best of what you have to offer? So I'm just setting a tone. I just want to challenge you in your thanks. Are you giving God the best of what you have? Are you giving God what's left of your energy? Are you giving God what's left of your thank you after all of the busyness? Just challenging you here. Let's move on. It says, say to God, how awesome are your works? Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Wow, when I'm thinking about thanking God, I gotta think about how big God is. Who or what do I have to fear? I should always be in faith. Nothing should get me down because this God that I serve, this God that I know is astronomical in everything that he does. And you gotta be a bad dude when your enemies just concede. It didn't say you destroyed your enemies. No, it said your enemies submit themselves to you. And that big bad dude is on our side. Verse 4 says, all the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Again, I think about that. I think about how big God is for my life. I think about how much he's done for me personally. And then I think about, he's not just doing it for me. He's doing it for you. And he's doing it for you. And he's doing it for you. Wow, God is amazing. That he can consider me in my life as well as your life in the whole earth. The whole earth should worship him. Now, in many Psalms, we see, it's not up here, but in Selah at the end. And Selah means to pause. And so now at this pause, I want you to think about, for the first time, is your praise big enough? Is your thank you big enough to God? The next verse says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. See, it's scriptures like that that sometimes make us complacent. Because we weren't there when he parted the sea. And I'll admit it before you that sometimes I think, did he really part the sea? Like for real. Like all of that water, did he really move the waters to the side and let them walk through with an army of Egyptians chasing after them and they actually made it out? Well, see, the psalmist is saying, slow down. Come and see the works of God. God is moving all around you. There are miracles that are occurring in your midst. And if you slow down and look, you'll see it. I think about miracles like breathing. one of the greatest processes ever created. If you can't ever find something to be thankful for, do this. It doesn't matter what's ailing you right now. It doesn't matter if your arm is in a sling. It doesn't matter what's going on in your finances. The fact that you can... there's something to thank God for. Come and see the works of God. One of the greatest miracles that I have the chance to witness is my wife being pregnant. And being able to walk side by side with her as there's a little life forming in her stomach. So no, I didn't get a chance to see the sea parted, but I get to feel my son moving in her belly. That's a miracle of God. When I think about the earth being round, right? And it's revolving in a universe with other planets. And I think about it circling and revolving a sun, right? And we're still here on the earth and not flying and floating around in that universe. Gravity. Come and see the works of God. There's something to be thankful for. Then I think about the next verse and it says, He sees all and knows all. There's not a thing that exists without a plan or a purpose. He's so great. He's planned everything out for your life, for my life, for the earth, and for everything. He's that great. Whether we understand it or not, He's that great. So here we have another Selah, so it's a chance for us to think again. Are we thanking Him enough? We get down to verse 8 and it says, Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver, and as silver is refined, you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Wow. I don't know if you're anything like me, but you've been through a lot. You're going through a lot, and you're expecting a lot from God. But we weren't burnt by the fires. We weren't drowned by the waters. We were refined and clean and cleansed for a time such as this. We were brought out for rich fulfillment. Everything we've been through has made us stronger. Everything we've been through has made us better. You're a living testimony. You're an overcomer. You're a survivor. You're a testimony. You're an encourager. Yeah, everything you've been through, God has brought it through to make you better. That's something worthy to thank Him for. Here's where the psalmist gets really happy, really happy. Think about these words. He says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. I will give you the best. No, I'll give you the best of the best that I have to offer. But then he says something that's really amazing. You ever been at the lowest of the low? And you're like, God, if you get me out of this one, I'll go to church every Sunday. I won't let a football game make me miss worship again. God, if you get me out of this one, I'll do all the chores. I promise. I won't miss another chore. And this is why it's amazing. Because God didn't bring back those promises to His remembrance. He brought it up. You know you got to be really happy when you bring up those things. Because you meant it at the time, but you really don't want those promises to be remembered. He said, God, everything that I vowed to you when I was in trouble, I promise you I'm going to give it to you. So he's really excited now. This is a really amazing God that deserves all my thanks. Even the things I didn't want to remember, I'm going to remember and I'm going to give it to Him. We have another chance here at Selah. Are you thanking Him enough? So now the psalmist is like, hey, look, I've given you a lot of stuff to think about to be thankful. And if you still can't figure out how much thanks that He deserves, look, come here and all you fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy on me. He said, if none of these things have moved you so far, let me tell you what he's done for my soul. And here's another reason why I think this is David, because David often gave his testimony and his faults and his flaws and the things that he failed in. And I can imagine David saying, I'm a liar. I'm a murderer. I'm an adulterer. Yo, I've done so much stuff that I don't deserve God's love, but his mercy still reigns in my life. He still continued to save me and my family and my people. And if you couldn't figure out enough stuff for yourself to say thank you that God could save a wretch like me. So for the last time, I ask you to think about, are we thanking him enough? Now I'm getting to the leftovers. Here's the hope. Here's the encouragement. Yes, I challenged you about your thanks, but let me tell you how powerful, how very powerful the humility of a thank you is and what a thank you could do for you in your life. Just a simple thank you. So we get to John chapter 6. And we have a miracle that's about to take place. Very familiar story where Jesus feeds the 5,000, right? But this miracle is different than any other miracle that was performed before. Jesus' first miracle that was recorded in John was the turning water into wine. It was an instruction that went along with it. Fill these vats up with water. And then pour them into the wineskins. Then the water was made to wine. Now Jesus was powerful enough that he could have just touched it and it became wine, but he didn't do that. When Jesus healed the lame man, he gave him an instruction and he was instructing him in faith. Take up your bed and go walk. When he healed the blind, he told him to go put the mud on his eyes and it would heal him. But this miracle is different. So when we read, we see, tell everyone, let me give you a little bit more backdrop. So they're coming up. Jesus had performed many miracles and he was teaching and he and the disciples were resting. And he noticed that there was a lot of people that were following. And Jesus was concerned about them. And so he looked at Philip and he said, how are we going to feed these people? And he asked Philip, because Philip happened to be from that town. So he said, Philip, you know who to go to where we can feed all these people. And Philip looks back and said, we ain't got enough money to feed all these people. Andrew was there, another disciple, and he said, there's a lad right here and he has some food. He has a little bit of food. It's probably barely enough for us. And Jesus said, just go tell the people to sit down. And if you blink, you'll miss the miracle of this. Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Now, the Bible is written in very masculine terms. We always think about Jesus feeding 5,000. But that was just the men. So this number really probably more accurately represents 5,000 families. Wow. So think about that. Think about that. So we could say a man, a woman, a child would be a family. So it's closer maybe to about 15,000 people out there. Then Jesus took the loaves, and here's the simple part of the miracle. There was no other instruction. There was no extravagant act or miracle. He's teaching here. He says, gave thanks to God, and then he distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. So a simple thank you. Nothing extravagant, nothing crazy. A simple thanks to God. Not only fed the people, but it filled them up. 15,000 people filled them up. So much so that there were leftovers. So as I challenged you to think about how much you're thanking God, if you're thanking God enough, think about this. Your thank you could give you everything that you need and more. Your thank you can give you leftovers. Your thank you will make your cup runneth over. A little humility of a thank you in this season. And to really think about the smallest of things, the things you may have overlooked. Take an extra moment to think about how much you really appreciate God. And that's when God can put some extra on your ordinary, some super on your natural, and do some amazing things in your life. with a small thank you, he'll bless you with the leftovers. Heavenly Father, I